السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم ان اللہ لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. وعن انس بن مالک رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم: المؤمن من امنه الناس بل مسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده والمهاجر من هجر السوء والذي نفسي بيده لا يدخل الجنة عبد لا يأمن جاره بواعقه او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we human beings are social animals. We cannot stay alone. We always stay together. And when people are living together in the society, in the ma'ashara, there will be some misunderstandings, some breachings of the rights, some oppressions, some injustice. And Islam is the perfect religion and chosen, selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. So in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the guidance, especially in the Holy Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hudal linnas. It is the guidance for the whole of mankind. And then especially specifying other place, Hudal lil muttaqin, that very specifically it is the guidance and hidayat for those who believe. It is mentioned by our scholars that one part of our life in this world is we have to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called Hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect of our life is dealing and living with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling and taking care of their rights, which is called Hukukul Ibad, the rights of the people. So life of the believer, a true believer, is balanced between Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad, rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of the people. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Allah can forgive anybody's sins, no matter how great sinner he is. But people are not merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just also. So on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive whatever shortcomings we have with regard to the hukukullah. We did not perform salat correctly, we missed the fasting of Ramadan, we did not pay zakat in the right way, etc., etc. These are the hukukullah. Allah can forgive, Allah is merciful. But Hukuk al-Ibad, rights of the people, is more severe. or more important in a sense that people are not going to be merciful on the Yawmul Qiyamah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, He's going to do the insaf on the Yawmul Qiyamah. So that's why it is said in 1/4 of the Holy Quran is dealing with the aqaid, hukukullah. What aqidah, what faith we should have, like in this verse also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarify, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only Allah should be worshipped. And we should believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without partner, without any assistant. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey Him. When you say aqim as-salah, establish your 5 times salah. You know, when you say fast during the month of Ramadan, you have to fast it. You say وَأَتِمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. If you are wealthy, you must perform Hajj and Umrah once in a lifetime, etc. These are the hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And 3/4 of the Holy Quran, more than half, is filled with the rules and regulations dealing with hukukul ibad. 1/4 aqaid and 3/4 are the rights of the people, how we should live in this dunya. What are the rights of those people who are surrounding us? These are very detailed in the Sharia Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Unfortunately, if we see person is performing daily 5 times salah, he's first in the row, he comes before adhan, very punctual, he doesn't miss siyam of Ramadan, he gives his zakat on time, and he performs Hajj and Umrah as well. He got beard, mashallah, his dress is Islamic. So outwardly, we regard that person as a pious person, God-fearing person, righteous person, by observing outward, right? He's punctual for salah. So he must be a true believer, a right Muslim, right? We don't know what's going on inside his family life. He may be performing tahajjud salat every night, but he's not good with his wife. Very short temper. He's not fulfilling the rights of his children. He's very bad with his neighbors. Neighbors are fed up with him, but he's performing tahajjud. He's not missing any salah. So there is a deficiency, there is a fault, there is a flaw in his life. He is not the right person. People will respect him by looking in outwardly. But internal life, which most of the things with regard to the hukukul ibad, the rights of the people, he is lacking in that. He is not punctual. He is not practical. He is not fulfilling the rights of the people. So, inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although the whole world will praise him, respect him, because of his punctuality of ibadat, but Allah knows what is there inside his life. So on the day of Qiyamah, that kind of person will be judged according to his actions with hukukullah and hukukul ibad. In this verse of Surah An-Nisa, verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted some rights of the people. And this ayat, mashallah, is balanced between the hukukullah and the hukukul ibad. I will just do the brief translation of this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, worship Allah, wa'budullah, wala tushriku bihi shay'an, and don't join anyone with him. And this is a very severe breaching of the faith that Allah doesn't like it. Allah will never forgive. Inna Allah ta'ala, he declared in the Holy Quran, inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever forgive a person who associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes more than one Allah, committing shirk. Allah will never forgive him. He will never enter in Jannah. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah la yaghfira yushraka bihi. And then, other than shirk, any major crime he has committed, there is a hope. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Other than shirk, any crime, any bad action, any violation, there is a hope, there is a raja. Allah will forgive. And Allah can forgive. Right? We should not lose the hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just said, you must worship Allah and don't associate anyone in worship, in aqidah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the hukukul law. One short sentence. And rest of the lengthy sentence afterwards is regarding hukukul ibad. As I said, 1/4 is for hukukul law and 3/4 are for the hukukul ibad. In this verse, you can see the length of the ayat, the long ayat, Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 36. 1-2 word is for hukukullah, done. Wa'budullah wa la tushriku bi shay'an, done. Hukukullah is there, mentioned. Now hukukul ibad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborating, explaining. It is more, it is lengthy, and we all have to understand. We all have to understand because we are lacking in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then be good with your parents. Because after hukukullah, the most and foremost rights upon the people are the rights of the parents. After ibadat of Allah, the most important thing among the makhluk, among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, the top priority should be given to the parents. Because parents are the means for us to come into this dunya. So they deserve more right than anyone else. They deserve more right than our wife, our children, our siblings, you name it. Parents are on top of the list. Hukukul ibad, parents are on top of the list. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Abdullah, the next one is hukukul ibad. And with hukukul ibad, Wabil walidain ihsana. Allah is not saying that you must fulfill the rights of the parents. Ihsan is one degree above the rights. Allama explain, when word ihsan comes, it means you have to go out of your way. Even your parents are wrong. Even your parents are oppressing you. Even your parents are insulting you. Your right, they deserve it, that you should go out of your way. Ihsan is above than the right. That's why it is comes in the hadith, if a parent is telling you to divorce your wife, you have to divorce, although you love your wife. But because the sake of the parent, that much of right parents have. And this, whatever wealth, position we have, you know, accumulated through our effort, through our, you know, hard working, every penny of our wealth belongs to our parents. They can use it, abuse it without our permission. That is their right. And no one in this dunya can fulfill the rights of the parents. No one, no matter whatever he does, his entire life, the rights of the parents cannot be fulfilled 100%. But we have to do that. وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَبِدِ الْقُرْبَى. Your kinsfolk, your brothers, sisters, aunt, uncle, aunts, nephew, niece, etc. Your close relative and your blood relatives. وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And your orphans living in your society, in your neighborhood, and masakin, and poor people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your neighbor has the rights, who is near of your kin, neighbor who is a stranger, the companion by your side, you are traveling, somebody sitting next to you in the aeroplane, in the bus, in the car, or in the gathering like that. Whoever sitting next to you, right and left, they are your neighbors, as long as they sit with you in the same place, in the same company, same gathering. And then the wayfarer, the musafir, traveler, strange person, you don't know him, but he also have right upon you. And those slaves in today's terms are your servants. You are the boss, you are the supervisor, you are the manager. People are working under you. Be kind towards them. Pay them on time. Don't take extra work from them. Don't put more burden, more than their capacity. These are the rights of the servants. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such as are proud and boastful. The people who have pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like them. Now, in regard to the neighbors, Ulama explain there are three kind of neighbors. Number one, a neighbor who is non-Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Indian, whatever. He's not Muslim, but he's your neighbor. He also has right upon you, meaning don't disturb them, don't hurt them, don't say anything to them. So they also have right, although they are non-Muslims. The second neighbor, second category, who have double rights, that he is your neighbor and he is a Muslim. So he got double rights. The right of the neighborhood and right of Islam. Kullu Muslimin ikhwatun. So he got double rights. And if your neighbor is your relative, then he got three rights, triple rights, triple A. Three, insurance, triple A. So he is Muslim, he is your neighbor, and he is your relative. That's why in the thing of sadaqah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in one of the hadiths, if you give sadaqah in zakat in charity to any other strange people, it is you will get the one reward of sadaqah. But same amount if you are giving to your poor relative without telling him this is sadaqah, just give him and help him financially if he's in need of, you will get the double reward. The reward will increase. The amount is same. $100, for example. If you $100 you give to the anyone, a strange person, you will get the reward of sadaqah. But same $100, if you give to your relative, poor relative, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy and he will increase your reward double. You will get the reward of sadaqah plus you will get the reward of fulfilling the right of your relationship. He is your relative, you help him. The sawab will increase, the reward will increase. This is the benefit. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned and narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al mu'minu man aminahun nas. A true believer. A believer is not that who recites kalma shahada, ashadu la ilaha illallah, ashadu muhammad rasulullah, he is a Muslim. No. Definition of iman is that the others are protected from his mischievousness. Man aminahun nas. A mu'min cannot be terrorist. A mu'min cannot be troublemaker. A mu'min cannot be misbehaved. This is the sign of his iman. If a person is claiming that he is a mu'min, but his conduct, his character, his behavior is not according to Islam, and people are not saved from his tongue and from his mischievousness. Although he is saying kalima shahada, performing salat, but inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he will judge him on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be in trouble. He did not fulfill the right and definition of iman. Al-mu'min, a true believer, is that man aminahun nas. People are safe from his mischievousness. What is the definition of Muslim? We're saying a person who's practicing Islam is a Muslim. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wal muslimu man salama al muslimuna Millisanihi vayadihi. Now just everyone judge ourselves. Are we fit in this definition? Although we are born Muslims, our parents are Muslim. In our entire life, how many times we hurt the people through our tongue by passing comments or making ghibah or, you know, insulting or slandering without any proof? Any things we heard, we just forward. We don't make any talking. We don't see if it's right or wrong. The moment we hear, we just pass it on. Very dangerous in today's time. Very dangerous. So true Muslim, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that one who other Muslims are protected from the mischievousness and from the harm of his tongue and his hand. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined al-muhajir. What generally we regard a muhajir who leave one place and he goes to the another place for the sake of Allah, like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum left Makkah Mukarrama and they migrate to Madina Munawwara, they will call muhajirun. Right? That is the general term. Here in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, al-muhajiru man hajara su. A true muhajir, an immigrant, is not that he's coming from India to America, he's muhajir. No. He's not muhajir. He came from dunya, right? For the better life. A true muhajir, immigrant, is that who leave all the bad things. Man hajar su. He doesn't commit sin openly, secretly. He tried to protect himself from any wrong thing, any violation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man hajar su. If it's that, then he's real muhajir. Walladhi nafsi biyadi. Then Rasulullah said with the confidence and emphasizing to this matter, that I take an oath of that being under whose control, who under whose is my life, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said then, la yadukhulul jannata. That person will never ever enter into Jannah. That person, la yadukhulul jannata abdun la ya'munu jarahu bawa'ikahu. That whose neighbors are not saved and protected from his mischievousness. Rasulullah SAW, after taking an oath, he said that person will never enter into Jannah, no matter how much righteous life he has spent, punctual on Salah, Zakat, Hajj, Umrah, etc. Everything was 100%. But if the neighbors are not happy with him, a neighbor are not protected by him, by his mischievousness, that person will never enter into paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned one of the hadith, ittaqu dhulam. You may be careful to do any oppression, fa inna dhulma dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah, because the dhulm, the oppression, it will be dark on the yawm al-qiyamah, darkness for you on the yawm al-qiyamah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, man kanat indahu madlamatun. If anyone has oppressed anyway, by tongue, by hand, to anyone, li akhihi, to the Muslim brother, min irzihi, with regard to his izzah, his dignity, his honor, aw min shayin, or any other thing, material thing, falyatahallalhu minhu al-yawm, he should make it clear, his record, today, while he's alive. قَبْلَ أَلَّا يَكُونَ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ. Before the Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the currency of this dunya, dinar, dirham, dollars, pounds, rubles, is not going to be helpful, beneficial in hereafter. Currency of this dunya will not work out in hereafter. إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ عَمَلٌ. He have done something wrong to any person. So what will happen on the Yawm al-Qiyamah? All his good actions will be taken and given to a person to whom he has oppressed. In one of the times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, man al-muflis? Who is the poor? Who is the destitute? Generally, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, man la dirhama lahu wa la mata'u. A person who doesn't have money is regarded as a poor person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. قال لكن المفلس الذي يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وصوم وصدقة. a person will come, piles of Hajj and Umrah and Sadaqah and Salat, etc. وَقَدْ ظَلَمَ هَذَا, but he will oppress this person. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and hit this person. وَشَتَمَ هَذَا, and slander that person. وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا, and his bloodshed unjustly. وَأَخَذَ مَالَ هَذَا, and he's taken the wealth of somebody unjustly. فَيُؤْتَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَيُؤْتَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. On the Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be lined up and they will ask their rights. حُقُوقُ الْعِبَاد. And because there is currency is only hasanat, so his hasanat, his hajj, umrah, sadqah, salat will be given to those people to whom he has oppressed in this dunya. To that extent, all piles of his hajj and umrah is all finished. And there are still some people are waiting for their rights. Yeah, the wealth is finished, hasanat is gone. He's empty-handed. Now they're still asking for the rights. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, their bad deeds, their sins will be taken and will put into the account of this person who was a musalli, who was a five-time prayers, who did so many hajj and umrah and sadaqah and khairat. Those people's sins will be given to him and then he will be thrown into the hellfire. May Allah protect all of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, practical example, my brothers and sisters. He was about to depart from this dunya. In this last few days, he was very sick, severe fever. His face was red. So he announced, he called Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, say, oh, announce the people in Medina, whoever have right upon me, they must come to the masjid and take the right. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khatimun Nabiyyin, so careful about hereafter, setting an example. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala went out and he announced in Medina, people were scared. People were, you know, surprised, what's happening? They all rushed to the Masjid Nabawi. They all gathered. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out from his Mubarak Hujra and he said, anyone, it looks like I'm not going to survive. My sickness is such severe, I'm not going to survive. So please, if anyone has any right upon me, please take his right from me. Yatahallal in this dunya. We have to clarify our account in this dunya, my brothers. Rasulullah sallam saying, if I go some right, hukukul ibad, Allah will ask me too. Allah will take me to the task over there. So please, I want to clarify. I lived here for 10 years. If I hurt anybody, I did wrong to anybody, please come today and take revenge. Sahaba were stunned. Who can do that? Who can take revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One Sahabi stood up. His name was Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have right upon you. I want to take revenge. People were stunned in the masjid. What did Sahabi say? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Jalal, very short temper, he stood up. You want to take revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you mad? Are you crazy? He said, yes, this is my right. Hukukul ibad. I have right. So he said, what's your right? In battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was strengthening the rows. And he had the whip or stick in his hand. And by mistake, his stick or whip, you know, touched to my body, my back. He hit me without reason. This is his claim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in battle of Uhud, while he was strengthening the rows for the jihad, he hit me on my back without reason. I say, okay. Come. He said, bring the whip. And Sahaba were crying. They cannot see this scenario. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, oh Ukasha, if you really want to take revenge, hit me. Hit on my back. But don't take revenge. You can see the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's so sick. He hardly walked. You want to take revenge in this condition? He's the Rasul of Allah. Don't you have any shame? He said, no, this is my right. Hukukul ibad, this is my right. He said, okay, bring the whip. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Oh Umar, on the Yawmul Qiyamah, I will be alone in front of my Allah. And if Ukasha will stand in front of my Allah, you are not going to protect me over there. Leave me alone. Let him take the revenge. I'm going to finish my chapter in matter in this dunya. The whip, the stick was brought. Ukasa radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, when you hit me, I had no clothes on my body. My back was naked. I don't want to hit you while you are wearing this kurta, whatever. This is justice in Islam, my brothers. So Rasulullah said, well, took off his Mubarak kurta. Can you imagine? Took off his Mubarak kurta and his bare back put towards Ukasa radiallahu ta'ala, gave him the whip. He said, okay, do it. Take your revenge. He ran towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he grabbed the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and started kissing the mohr and seal of the nubuwwat. Then crying, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who am I? Fidaka abi wa ummi. My parents must sacrifice for you. Who am I to take revenge from you? Rahmatulil alameen. But that was my trick. I wanted to kiss mohr and nubuwwat. I wanted to kiss your seal of nubuwwat. And that's why I made all this scenario and drama. And he kissed and started crying. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Kasha, you have won the Jannat. You have won the Jannah because your intention was to kiss the mohr and nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you did it. So I'm happy with you. And this is how Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this incident is written in Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum. Really authentic incident happened. It is the lesson for the entire mankind till the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Hukuk al-Ibad is so important, my brothers. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to clarify before he died from this dunya, to in hereafter he cannot be questioned with regard to the hukuk al-ibad. We should try to apologize to whom we have hurt, our relatives, friends, anyone. Pick up the phone, apologize today, or let him take the revenge from you.
Allahu Akbar.